Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss how to pair headless CMS with static sites to create a powerful e-commerce store. If you know the history of the internet, then you'll know that static sites were on the cutting edge of technology back in the 1990s. Toward the end of the decade, dynamic, database-driven sites started being developed, and static sites drastically fell out of favor. Recently, static sites have started making a big comeback. Their simplicity means that they can operate with terrific speed and increased security. Today, we're discussing the advantages of switching back to static websites and what you need to know to pull off this transition. On this episode, you'll hear everything you need to have a basic understanding of headless CMS and static websites. Headless content management systems allow you to design the back end of a website and still have the freedom to design your user interface as you see fit. When you pair that with a static website model, you can create a powerfully fast website. Next, we'll talk about the important tools you'll need to set up a headless CMS static website. We'll go through the exact chain of resources you can use to construct this site and get your new store up and running. We'll also discuss how to add the e-commerce component once the site is built. There are a few good options we can recommend that will make your new website capable of carrying out the functions of an e-commerce store. And finally, we'll discuss the main advantages for making this transition. Constructing headless, static websites allows you to create a truly unique website that is also fun to work on. If you're looking for a unique, simple, and powerful website, check out this episode and consider if this groundbreaking model is right for you. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. All right, Chris, welcome back to the show. It's great to see you again.
Good to see you, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks. We got a great topic today. We're talking about bringing e-commerce to headless and static websites. So a lot to talk about today. We've already talked about headless e-commerce. Can we just kind of review for people who maybe missed that episode what that is?
So when we talked about headless e-commerce, we were talking about this idea that your e-commerce could be in a lot of non-native to a browser environments, right? Mm-hmm. And that's one, that's like when we were talking, about like, what happens if you order on your phone or when you're via voice, right? What happens I can't say the name of my Amazon device or my whole office will start turning on crazy, but you know, like you talk and you like, so speaking is a way to do it. So we were talking about other non-visual, non-browser stuff. Here, we're talking about something a little different, right? Here we're saying, well, what happens if you want to add e-commerce to your site, but your site is using what's called a Jamstack or what, you know, a static site generator and powered by JavaScript APIs and some sort of markup, right? And so yeah. You're like, that would be a different kind of e-commerce than if you're a store builder than what you've built with before. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different than the other topic when we covered headless.
Yeah.
But this is headless when you're talking about actually still building a visual UI in the browser, but using a different set of tools.
Okay. So this emphasis on static websites, I'm finding really interesting. I don't think we've talked about that too much. Just real quick, what's a static website? What are the advantages of going static?
So it's crazy, right? Because when we first started building websites, I started in 95 and all we had were static websites. Like you just wrote HTML. And when you opened up a text file and you started open bracket, right? HTML and then close it and then open head and then start writing. And people were like, what code are you writing? You're like, I'm not writing code. I'm just writing HTML. But it was a saved file. And then you had another file, and then you linked between the files, and it's static, right? Which means it's just text, which means text flying over the internet is really fast, text loading up in your browser is really fast. And then we introduced databases, right? And I remember, so again, back in 96, we I think it was 95 or 96. I think it was early 96. We did like 20 different things with Perl and modules and trying to connect to a database. And then it worked one day. And people are like, what did you do? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, we tried 25 different things. I don't know which one worked. But the moment you introduce the database, you shift to something that's dynamic, right? Because in your markup, you say, hey, go run this query on the database and pull something from the database and then present it back to the user, which makes it a lot more dynamic, makes it interesting. You can do things. But the very nature of that is now I have to wait for you to talk to the database, to query the data, to bring it back, and then present it. So not too bad in the early days, but as time has gone on, right, content management systems got slower and slower, right? And it's not bad. It's not, I mean, there's ways you can use caching, you can use lots of things to make it better. Every store builder I'm talking to right now is like, yeah, but like I have tools, like we can do this, we can do that. It's all true. But in the last couple of years, we've seen a shift to going back to what we used to do, right? Which is, what if you just build static websites, right? How much faster? And also it reduces all the security, right? So there's a company out there, there's many, but there's a company out there called Stratic. And Stratic is one of the companies that I've been working with where they let you build the whole thing in WordPress, for example, right? You use the UI and everything else, but then you, when you push the publish button, they take all of that and turn it into static pages, right? And so then you don't have a security problem. There's no, plugin challenges of, you know, a security threat or a vector that you can enter in. It's just HTML. It's all it is, right? It loads up really fast.
Yeah.
And so in the midst of that, there are a lot of CMSs, content management systems, that store builders have likely heard of that are making this a new world, making it available. Now, in the past, you'd say there's no way to build a static website and have e-commerce because e-commerce is not static. E-commerce is dynamic. Mm. And that is true. But we've recently seen the entrance of players over the last couple of years, right? And more every day, where they're saying, oh, we can connect to your static site and bring a SaaS-like component to your e-commerce render, right? And you go, ooh, that's different, right? BigCommerce has a very strong API that lets you pull in stuff into your static site via the API. There's others, right? My favorite for small stuff is a company called Snipcart. And we'll talk about all these, but the point is, it like my leaders blog, right? Leaders.blog is a website that is now, I coded it in WordPress. I built the site. It's just a blog, right? Mm-hmm. So I published it as a static site, right? Stratic. And then I said, yeah, but I sell 3 eBooks. So how can I sell 3 eBooks on this static site? Mm. And you go, okay, let's go use Snipcart, right? So I register my files, the downloadable files, I register the prices and other things on Snipcart, and then I present them in the UI in HTML. And then when someone clicks a button, it pops open the cart, they fill it out and pay, and they get sent the file, and it's still on my website. But now I didn't build a full e-commerce solution. I just tapped into a hosted solution like Snipcart. Again, you can do it with BigCommerce, you can do it with commercelayer.io, right? There's new players that are coming out that makes that very interesting. So I know I just rattled off a whole bunch of stuff. It's just very interesting now.
Yeah.
Forestry is a CMS that is an alternative to, say, WordPress. Forestry is a CMS that is well suited for this kind of thing. Contentful is another, right? These are all a brand new kind of headless CMS, right? Where what you're doing is you're doing content modeling. So you're defining how you want to structure the data, and then you're able to put the data into it, and then it will allow you to make API calls to bring it back out so that you can use a static site generator, you can use some tools, you can store these pages in GitHub, right? And just boom, they come out. So when you go to look at tipsforlater.com, which is not e-commerce, but Tips for Later is one of the websites I run that is using a static site generator and is a static website. Mm-hmm. And leaders.blog is another one I run. Different approach, different technology and strategy, but they're both lightning fast. And they're lightning fast precisely because there's not a lot of database involved. So then the question, right, the core of what we're talking about is, let's say you get into this stuff, right? What tools you should use and how do you add e-commerce to it? Right?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's kind of jump in there. Let's talk about some tools.
So my favorite place for people to start is a company called StackBit, StackBit.com. I find that StackBit is for a store builder who's like, I've never done this before. It is the best place to start. And it's because you can combine a theme and a static site generator and a CMS all from there, right? So it's like, think about it as your control panel. And so you go, okay, I'm going to spin up something new, right? I'm thinking of a new store. And so you go, okay. So when you get started, right, it goes, okay, let's have you tell us what theme are you looking for? And they show you a bunch of themes. Or you can drop in your own custom theme with a link to a GitHub repo that has that. And then it says, okay, now I want you to pick what static site generator, right? Jekyll, mm-hmm. Hugo, Gatsby, ViewPress. There are a bunch of different ones. And you pick one of those. And then it says, okay, now what CMS do you want to do, right? And we talked about Contentful. My favorite is Forestry. I come from a WordPress background. So I look at Forestry and go, this is pretty darn close. This is really nice and easy. Contentful is incredibly powerful. It's also one of my favorites, but you do have to really build out the full content model. Mm. And then you know, at StackBit, you've gotten through that stuff. And then you say, okay, let's talk about where you're going to store this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Which I say, okay, I'll go do it at GitHub, but you know, you could imagine someone eventually getting to use GitLab or Bitbucket. And then where are you doing the build and deploy, right? Because that static site generator is going to loop over a bunch of stuff and then generate a bunch of static pages, which mm-hmm. you'll store on GitHub. But what's the engine doing, right? The company is spelled Netlify.
Netlify.
I think.
Yeah.
I never know. When someone creates a nonsensical word, I'm super happy for them, but I also have no idea how to say it.
So, right.
Let's assume it's Netlify.
Okay.
They're going to do the build and deployment, right? They're going to see any changes in GitHub, and then they're going to suck it out. They're going to call the static site generator. They're going to build it and stuff. They're going to deposit it back at GitHub to say, okay, here's the new website, so that then you can go, okay. So StackBit is my favorite first place to start because it walks you through all this fairly easily, right?
Right.
Fairly easily. It does a lot of the work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, right? Assuming, let's say you picked Forestry and in one of my sites, I think I did a custom theme from a repo that I pulled. I was using Jekyll to do the static site generator. I used Forestry as the CMS. Mm-hmm. And GitHub and Netlify as the storage and build.
Yeah.
And I put that together. And then you just log into Forestry and you're like, now let me go start creating content. Mm-hmm. So you get most of that and you're like, that will get you most of the way to a fast website. Doesn't get you a store yet, but it gets you a very fast static website. Headless CMS plus all this build tools and everything else. And you're like, okay, I got a lightning fast website. Now I want to add e-commerce. And that's where you go, okay, well, now we gotta do something, right? We gotta do something. And so Snipcart is one of the ones that I tell people, hey, go check out, right? Because it's so simple. And they support things like recurring or subscription-based stuff. They support shipping physical and digital. They support discounts, multiple payment gateways. Et cetera, right? If you pay a little more, you get the abandoned cart thing. Snipcart's really incredible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I like it, and I think it's worth looking at. Another one is what I mentioned earlier, which is Commerce Layer, and that's commercelayer.io. Now, commercelayer.io is a little bit different in that for store builders, it may be exactly what they've always wanted because it is a pure API. Snipcart there's a little bit of a, you go to their website, it's a SaaS, and you go in and you do a little with a GUI, and then they just give you a, here, put this little link in your website. So you spend more time visually doing stuff, which if you're a first-time store builder and you want to do this headless and static and all this, Snipcart's really easy. If you're a developer who's saying, no, I want to custom create the UI and how this plays out, and I want to do all, I want to add all my own features and how I want to do it, then commercelayer.io may be more for you, because it's just going to give you this, the you know, endpoints of the API, and you tap into it and you drop it in and into whatever you want, right? So those are the tools, right? That's, and like I said, BigCommerce also has, it's a SaaS, and it has an API too. If you pay it the right level, you can get access to the API and do it too. So several players out there.
Yeah.
But if you start with StackBit and then add your static site generator and add Netlify and GitHub and then add, you know, your headless CMS, you're going to get all the way up to the point where you go, now I got to pick a commerce engine. And then Snipcart and Commerce Layer are two of the main players there that are doing, and BigCommerce, I keep dropping them off and then going, oh yeah, them too. Those are the three players that are doing some stuff API driven that could make you have a very interesting website experience, right?
Right.
Now, this is very developer centric, right? Which of course the podcast is for store builders. It's not for merchants.
Yeah.
The difference of course is, I think in this model, your store builder is going to have an ongoing relationship with the merchant, because the merchant's likely not going to log into any of these things and start editing stuff, right? And that's, you know, we've, for years, we've given people the backend access to WooCommerce or the backend access to Magento. And here you may, but maybe you won't. And that's okay, because we know tons of store builders who are like, my customers never go into the backend. I have to do everything. And you're like, great. These are tools for a store builder. But the net result is you could see a very, very fast website. Now, we've worked with tons of Magento and WooCommerce stores to make them lightning fast too. So it doesn't mean you can't do it with the others. But this one, this is some new tech that could make a very, very fast website.
Right.
Very fast store.
Right. So that sounds like kind of a long chain of sites and plugins and applications that you're using. Is it hard to keep everything organized and integrated?
That's why I tell people start with StackBit, because it's like, I mean, basically what happens is, as a store builder, you start in StackBit and you organize everything in layers and you make all that play out. And then depending on what you're doing, you could either just log in to Forestry or Contentful to do the content stuff, or just log into Snipcart or Commerce Layer to just edit the e-commerce price or product or whatever, right? Like, you just go into one thing, tweak it, everything else is already done, hit regenerate, it generates, and you're good to go. So it's not as complicated as it sounds, but that's partly because StackBit, I think, does a good job of making it really easy for you. Whereas in the earlier versions of this, you had to be a developer's developer, because you're going to build your whole tool chain all on your own.
Okay. So for people who are considering doing this, is there a way to transfer your website over to this? Or are you kind of building everything from the ground up? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, you can definitely do, a lot of these tools will, a lot of your current commerce platforms will allow exports. So you can export stuff and then you can re-import them into other systems. I find that sometimes it depends on the quantity. Right. So for three ebooks on a website, I just manually typed it in and said, I'm moving on. But if I had 3,000 products, I wouldn't manually type them. I'd import them. Right.
Okay.
So there aren't, as far as I know, there aren't, and I can always be wrong, there aren't nifty tools yet that just say, I'm going to take your Magento store and turn it into Commerce Layer, or I'm going to take your WooCommerce store and turn it into Snipcart. We're not there yet. This is still early days.
Okay.
But I know people, right, who are building in these tool sets and using these tool chains and saying, this is incredibly fast.
Yeah.
And, it's fun again, right? Like, again, at the end of the day, you build a store for the merchant, and the merchant has a store so they can sell. So objectives are about revenue creation, But developers are the people in the middle, right? The store builders, they're building stuff. And when they build it, they're like, I sure would like to use the latest set of tools and technologies. And I sure would like to do something cool and fun. And this is one of those places where I was just talking to a buddy the other day who does e-commerce development as an agency. And I was walking him through some of this stuff. He's like, this is crazy. And you go, yeah, and it's fun. He goes, what'd you do? And I said, well, I built 40 stores, right, in a weekend. And he's like, what? I'm like, I tried every static site generator. I tried every content, headless content management system. I tried the different e-commerce pieces. I tried to connect them up. Like, I spent the whole weekend just doing this over and over to just see, does this work? Does this work? How does this work? Is it only digital downloads or is it also physical products? And which one does what? And how does it? Because it's fun, right? Mm-hmm. And for a store builder, if you're a developer listening, you go, I know that feeling, right? That feeling of it's new, it's different, it's shiny. We're like a cat with a yarn ball and you're like, whoop, I want to play again, right? Which is a little different than sometimes how work feels, where you're like, I'm back to working in a known platform, but that known platform also has known issues and I have to navigate through them. Sometimes it's fun to step into a new space and go, I don't know what the issues are, but I'm going to go have fun playing and figuring it out.
Mm-hmm. Right. With all of these different elements that you have kind of building the store, is it easy to swap out? Like if you're using Netlify, but you want to use a different one, is that part of why it's fun? Like you can kind of move the parts around?
I think so. It's also fun because I think the main fun is not that, though I think you can, right? I think you can say less on Netlify, but more on which static site generator. So if you're like, I'm going to go from ViewPress to Hugo or Hugo to Jekyll, like you can change that out and say, let's do this. And there'll be a little work. Or if you want to change which CMS. I think the more interesting thing is we've gotten to a point in e-commerce where it can feel like I can decide. I know when I look at a website, right? Not every store. I want to be clear. Not every store. But if I look at 10 stores that are, you know, that I don't know where they were built, and then I look at them and I go to a couple things, I can tell you if it's a Magento store.
Hmm.
If I go to certain parts of the site, I can tell you if it's a WooCommerce store. If I look at the homepage, I can tell you if it's a Shopify store or a Squarespace store, right? Why is that? Because when they rolled out any of these things, when they rolled out 20 themes, you thought, 20, that's amazing. But when they put tens of thousands of stores on each theme, everything started looking the same. Mm. So what do you end up with, right? A store that looks like every other store and potentially because it's dynamic and there's database behind, and maybe you don't have the engineers that can help you make it really fast, or maybe you're hosting it on a suboptimal host, you also have a slow, right? Now, at Liquid Web and at Nexus, right? Both brands that do WooCommerce and Magento stores, we know how to make your site really fast. So you could still use existing tools and make it fast. WooCommerce and Magento, no problem. But imagine that you're somewhere else. Imagine with your host where it is slow and you're going, this doesn't seem to make sense. Playing with these tools, the fun part about it is that not only is it fast, but you can make your store look like just your own, like no one else's store ever. Because the nature of having a headless CMS is it's going to store the data that a content management system would store, but it's not going to define the UI. And using headless or a Jamstack approach to e-commerce means it's going to store the products and the pricing and do the charging, but it's not going to design the UI. So now guess what? Your user experience is completely your own. You can design anything you want, which means you can be unique and it can look like it's not a Magento store and not a WooCommerce store and not a a Shopify or Squarespace e-commerce store, right? Mm-hmm. Just because the nature is it's different, or a BigCommerce store, right? It's just at the end of the day, right? So many stores punting to the same templates, eventually they all start looking very similar.
Right. Right. Chris, that was fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Awesome. Take care, Ryan.
Yeah.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how to construct a headless, static website and why this might be a good idea for your online store. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.